Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm standing in a very important spot, right outside the Oval Office, and you're looking at the White House behind me. And it's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to salute you. And I want to congratulate Dana White and the UFC. They're going to have a big match. We love it. We think it's important. Get the sports leagues back. Let's play. You do the social distancing and whatever else you have to do. But we need sports. We want our sports back. And congratulations to Dana White, UFC.
A little personal message there from Trump to the UFC folks, which I am not one, you know, by the time I watch the thing. I just want someone to go succeed and then others can follow. So go Dana White. That's what I hope he's right. That's all. I hope he's right. Your thoughts, as promised. Here's Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. Just wanted to get your thoughts on, the PLL has kind of a schedule and a plan to move forward. Not a league that anyone really talks about. But just kind of wanted to get your thoughts when you juxtapose that to baseball and these players not wanting to push their product when they're making a hell of a lot more than the average lacrosse player. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that. If that
PLL,
you know, pushes everything forward.
Okay, lacrosse, I'm sorry, it's not a comp. I thought you were talking about the Premier League, the soccer league in Britain, which feels to me to have a lot of the same pushback that baseball is going to have. They have not gotten off the ground with a clean plan to get back going like they have in Germany or maybe some other places. And there's a lot of pushback there, fight over revenues, which is kind of a bad look, Maz. I know, you know, it's everyone's right to fight for their salary and all of that. But the baseball players, if they put up a big stink on money, that's going to be a bad look.
Oh, I think it's a horrible look. I mean, horrible, horrible, horrible. So it's one of these things that, and again, I feel like it's the only sport where I'm reading about the particulars as it pertains to the money. So, and it might just be me. I just don't feel they're going into the same depth and detail in other sports that they've been going into in baseball. I think it reflects really poorly on the baseball players union that they talk about. No, we already cut that deal. This is what they're saying to the world.
Right.
No, we already cut the deal. We already negotiated for what our pay was going to be. That's over. Even though we've learned more as we've gone on about what the conditions are going to be like if and when they come back. And I just feel it's really I feel like it's one of these things where really you're going to soak us for a little bit more or the world for a little bit more. That's what you're going to do right now is you're going to try to soak a little bit more money out of it. I just think that is an absolutely God awful look.
Murph in Maine. Go ahead, Murph.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the UFC. Both my sons fight up here in a local outfit, and they get, before all this started, they would get blood tested before a fight, you know, and before they could even show up for weigh-ins. Maybe the UFC learned a lesson here, and they'll just test the guys before they show up.
Oh, sure.
But I think we should be supporting them.
If they can do it successfully, then other leagues can follow suit. So I don't know why you wouldn't root for him. I mean, unless you just want to be political about it. Say he's a Trump guy and, you know, like, that's not how I think. I want the sports back. So I hope Dana White succeeds. And I, you know, the whole thing about the testing, though, is things are still going to slip through the cracks. You can't even, you know, he had a bubble of, he said, 350 employees. You know, never mind when basketball and hockey comes back and it's thousands.
Right.
You know, he had 350 and he had three or four guys. They were all in the same camp, but Sousa and his cornerman all tested positive. So you're not going to be, no matter how much you test, you're not going to be able to preserve the bubble. What happens when you have a positive test? You can't shut it down. If you're going to shut it down on the first positive test, then you can't restart the league. So there has to be an appetite there, or maybe that's the wrong word. There just has to be a level of risk assumption by the players and the participants and the people in the bubble that if someone gets positive, we'll all get tested. and they'll quarantine those of us who test positive, but the rest of us are going to go ahead. And, otherwise, there's no point in getting started.
Yeah, you got to get it in writing from the athletes. Like, if someone tests positive, you still good with this? Because if so, like, the show goes on.
Well, no, they're just going to say, we're not going to stop. You know, if you want to stop, you stop. You know, they can't force them to play. But the leagues have to say that a positive result, you know, and I don't know how they word it or whatever, but you just can't. One positive from one player in a 300, 3,000, 5,000-person bubble can't bring the whole thing to a halt.
You've got to treat it like you would any other injury. Right.
No, but right, yeah, like any other injury. Or, you know, guys do get sick outside of this, and I'm not comparing this to the flu, whether it's worse or better. I'm not saying that, but in pro sports, it happens all the time where there's a flu and then it ravages and it runs its way through a locker room, or these staph infections, which are really bad. They can shut down, you know, facilities and whatnot, and teams still plow ahead and they still play. And the COVID has to be on that level, or else there's no point in coming back because there's no vaccine.
Well, Mike, and also, you know, and I'm giving baseball as an example here. This is why they're going to carry, you know, 50-man rosters. Now, there'll be 30 that are quote-unquote active or whatever, but there'll be an additional 20-man, call it taxi squad or whatever, that is effectively the minor leaguers who aren't playing in their season that will work out with the team and what have you. And then if there is some you know, that part of it to me is at least acknowledging that we're going to have issues here. Right? There are going to be people who get sick. We're going to have to quarantine them for a couple of weeks, and we're going to have someone else step in and play. I just don't know if the players are going to be willing at the end of the day to go through with it.
Larry in Nashua, they better be. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, the German Soccer League is starting this Saturday. Yes. How did they figure it out? You know, I think we live in a very litigious society in this country, and it's just what you just talked about. You know, it comes down to having lawyers and players signing documents and what have you. You know, it's just ridiculous. And then the other thing I just want to mention is, you know, with regards to the NBA players, I mean, God, if they can't get two players to shoot hoops with outdoors and people dressed up in PPE, how are they going to play games?
This is what I'm talking about. It's like the contrast to me just could not have been more stark. I see that ESPN report, and there was a Cavalier player, I'm not sure who it was, but walking in the mask, and Ramona Shelbourne showing the aerial shot of the arena with the doors off. There's no doors. So the guy walks in one door, out the other through the refrigerated end of the stadium, and there's a one personal ball boy, one personal low-level assistant coach that's in the face mask and the gloves with a disinfected ball for one guy to go into the gym and shoot some jumpers. One guy. Meanwhile, Dana White has infected guys doing face-offs and weigh-ins, and then he tells them to go home, and the rest of the card goes ahead and rolls around on a mat all night, bleeding on each other, sweating on each other, snotting on each other, rubbing it in every orifice they can figure out down there, grappling around on the ring. It's like this is the same. It's like there seems to be quite a gap there between how the NBA's going and everyone else is going about it and Dana White's going at it, which I found interesting. And again, I hope Dana White's right. I hope he did it safely and that, you know, it doesn't make it worse. Peter in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi. Big win for UFC. Huge win. And makes the rest of these guys look like a bunch of crybabies. The baseball fan. Well, we can't play. No. It's not about the risk, Mike. But the coronavirus is not going to kill you. It really isn't going to kill these guys. And so you have to separate the issue of, could you get it versus what is it? I could catch a cold. I could get a sunburn playing golf.
Yes.
Okay. And if I got it severe, no, I understand if it was severe enough, it could damage me. But I love it when you guys have taken the chance to promote the idea that life has risk, and we got it. The cure, Mike, at this point is worse than the disease. The wreckage of this shutdown, way worse.
Okay, Peter, I wish I was as sure as you are, because I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm rooting for Dana White to be right. I don't know if he's right. It is possible that he could have sparked a spreader event. Super spreader, I don't know what qualifies as a super spreader or whatever. But if that fellow who tested positive was in contact with enough guys who've now gone home to their families and now spread the thing and now has put strain on our hospital system and our healthcare system, he will not have won. Now, you seem pretty sure that that ain't going to happen. I hope you're right, too. I do hope you're right. I don't know why you're so sure, but I hope you're right. I hope Dana White is right. I don't know that they are, Maz. He may have done it. He may have done the wrong thing. We have to wait a couple weeks to find out.
Well, dare I say, I don't know. I felt like that guy was on the verge of delving into some sort of political discussion.
No, you think?
Okay. So look, the problem is that if it's done inside the bubble, some of the caller's points are right. Okay, again, but this is entirely within the context of that bubble. So that if you have athletes that in theory are healthy young men and that they are able to withstand the virus and everything suggests that they will be able to, and no one else gets infected, then the sport can go on. But in this case, if there's contact outside the bubble and then or people leave the bubble after coming in contact with this guy, well, now you've got the same problem all over again. So to me, it's not the idea in and of themselves of these guys playing. I'm sure some of them are scared of that. But it's the idea that this thing will somehow get out under wraps again. And I think people are confusing the two, Mike. That's all I'm saying.
Perhaps.
Because in the case of the athletes, I think they look at it as being a potential risk to their own health, which, again, on a small percentage, it is. But they should be able to play if they can keep this thing inside the bubble.
All I know is one positive result can't shut the thing down. One positive result can't shut it down, or there's no point in even starting. We'll pick this up right back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mez.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, let's take it a step further. I think this is the big concern and question is out there with all of pro sports returning. It's inevitable that someone, one individual, probably a couple, will test positive at some point. Is there a contingency plan for that in the NBA once play starts, whenever that might be?
Steve, Silver talked about an idea that he said he had actually had a conversation about with Rob Manfred, the baseball commissioner, the other day, but that if a player were to test positive in the resumption of a season, that they can't, what won't work is having to shut everything down, pull the team out, have to end a series, that if they're going to return to play, the belief is they'd have to be at a point where the player would be removed from the team, treated individually, and there's going to be mass testing going on among everybody within a team or within a potential bubble environment, and then you would deal with it with those who remain. But the league certainly believes that it's not a model that could go forward this season, you know, if they'd have to shut down with a positive test, because I think the expectation is, no matter how well you think you can isolate players and control the environment, you're going to have positive tests.
There's the key. UFC obviously didn't care. Positive guy there in the weigh-in. Face-offs. Cavorting with all the fighters. He gets sent home, but the rest of the fighters go into the ring for the weekend and start rolling around and rubbing their blood on each other. It's UFC, man. I hope they're right, but that whole point, and that sort of extends to society, doesn't it? I mean, if we all think we're all going to go back to work and you're going to keep the virus completely at bay, it's just that's wishful thinking. It's not going to happen. Someone's going to test positive, and we're going to shut the whole thing back down. Or is there going to be a middle ground where you can manage it and we can get our lives back? Like that's sort of like that's just that transcends these sports leagues. I think that's the rest of us too. I think that's everybody.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, look, let's just use any office place in America. You go back to work and let's say at the beginning, you know, they allow 25% of the people back in the building and then someone tests positive. You're going to have to test everybody that's been in that general area. I mean, you know, some of the stuff that you're seeing out there now with regards to how the disease spreads and who tests positive, and, you know, the large majority of it is indoors, and that, you know, the whatever wind or air is being blown through the system, you know, the duct system in the office building, which direction it's going is going to ultimately decide who gets infected and who does not.
That's some crazy stuff. You heard that, Maz?
So again, there was a thing that I sent to you guys this morning.
Yeah, that was in that. So I didn't see that part.
So there were a bunch of people in an office setting that tested positive, and they were all on the same side of the room because, you know, the air conditioning system or the ventilation system in the building blowing the air that way.
I got to go turn the air off now. Like, I feel okay, the AC so blowing on me.
Yeah, so it's this sort of thing that, you know, again, if you're sitting on the left side of the room and you sneeze and all the air is blowing to the right.
Oh, I get it.
All those people on the right are more at risk than others. And so, again, it's the point being, you don't have to be seated right next to someone to, you know, to get it. The 6-foot thing sort of goes out the window when something like that happens. And then, you know, in theory, Mike, but ultimately the bigger point is this, and the scenario you're saying is it as it applies to everyday, you know, the everyday environment. The people in that room or in that building, in that office, are then going to have to get tested. And so if this then starts happening in multiple places all at the same time, are we going to run out of tests again? I mean, is this, you know, so this is where it gets really, really complicated.
You know, and I talk this big game like, yeah, UFC go in there, roll around, you know, wipe your blood on each other, and these baseball players should get back. I talk a really big game. Meanwhile, I'm like, you know, I'm Mr. Wipe Down. Everything is sanitized. Like, I'm a, you know, I don't leave the bubble. So I'm not that guy. You know, it's easy for me to say. Big fraud when it comes to this. Better than me, for sure. But be that as it may, that is what it's going to take. Those guys are going to have to just assume some risk that someone's going to test positive and they'll be sent home and that it's all going to be okay and you can keep playing. Otherwise, there's no point in starting the thing. And Dana White doesn't want to hear any of your crap. And play one more cut from him here coming up because he entertains me. But first, a few calls. Here's Steve on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing, guys? Good afternoon to you. I'm really on your side in a way. I'm so sick and tired of spoiled, rotten Major League Baseball players and the such. I don't want to go spend time in a 5-star hotel and be away from my family. Well, and they're always supporting military and everything. You got thousands of military overseas. You got thousands of diplomats overseas that spend a year to 18 months away from their families.
Steve, yeah, I hear you. So all these athletes better be careful. They have the right to fight for work conditions and, you know, fight for their money like anybody else. Let's not go too far. But if they go too far, it is a bad optic. There's just no way around that. Here's
and the baseball players, I think you will. They'll put a death blow on that sport that it'll never recover from. If they end up like not playing this year simply because of money, and it gets widely reported that way, they'll ruin the sport forever.
Steven Tewksbury, go ahead, Steve.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, Mike, I got bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
It looks like the Montreal Canadiens may get into the playoffs. I got an email the other day on how they're going to set it up. 24 teams getting in there. And the second thing I want to question is, how are they going to open up indoor arenas? Because that's where the air conditioning and ventilation systems are. Baseball and football are open air.
So
Celtics and Bruins, we may not see them until the end of next season to start the playoffs.
So I agree.
Unless they change all the duct work and, you know, configure something at the garden.
Well, Steve, quickly, thanks for the call. I did read about the 2014 playoff form. I'm going to accept it if it gets them back on the ice. So put the effing Canadians in there, fine, whatever. I mean, if I'm not going to let that, like, you know, shut it down if the Canadians are in. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be the one guy saying shut it down because I don't want the Canadians in the playoffs. If that's what it takes for them to get back on the ice, and fine, put the effing Canadians in the playoffs, fine.
I don't know. I got to think about that one.
This thing, though, you know, I did read the thing. I thought, Maz, that you sent. I guess I just missed the part about the.
Well, it was long. Yeah, it was long.
Anyway, they did write in that thing that you sent, and it was from a doctor about, you know, what we're learning about how it spread primarily and the big risk factors going forward about opening up businesses. It was from an associate professor of biology at UMass Dartmouth, and they say any environment that is enclosed with poor air circulation and high density of people spells trouble. Like, for example, it's why the meatpacking plants have had such trouble because in meatpacking plants, writes this doctor, densely packed workers must communicate to one another amidst the deafening drum of industrial machinery and a cold room virus-preserving environment. There are now outbreaks in 115 facilities across 23 states. So they're in tight quarters and they're shouting at each other, which is spewing the virus. Because as this guy says, you know, he also says church choirs have had a high incidence of super spreader events because there are people in one room with poor ventilation shouting, singing, and projecting. And I read all this.
Reminded you of what?
Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, good God. This is... So this room is like a super spreader, you know, time bomb, because all we are in here is spitting, shouting, you know, spewing, and is spits going everywhere. And as it says, and there is AC, but we don't open up any windows here ever. It's a enclosed little bubble. So it's a tight little room where, you know, three sets of three guys come in here spitting all over the place all day. This place is like a freaking petri dish of filth.
It is. It's terrifying, really. When I started to read that, I had the same thoughts. They're describing a talk radio studio is what they're doing. And as you pointed out, you got waves of people coming in and out. So all it takes is one person, on a weekend or during the week to walk into a store, not wear a mask, or be a little bit careless, put their hands to their face, whatever it is. One person. And the whole staff could end up with it within, you know, a matter of days.
This guy writes that the main sources for infection are home, workplace, public transportation, social gatherings, like weddings, funerals, that's what they're referring to, and restaurants. They say this accounts for 90% of all transmission events. So the thing about being outside, golfing, jogging, whatever, very low incidence on contact, you know, the virus survives on surface, you touch the surface. I mean, there's some, but it's very low. It's primarily it's in enclosed places with poor air circulation and a high density of people. And if you happen to be in a place where people are shouting or singing, choir, the church choir in Washington State, even though people were aware of the virus and took steps to minimize transfer, for example, they avoided the usual handshakes and hugs, people also brought their own music to avoid sharing, so they did all of that. The choir sang for 2.5 hours inside an enclosed church, which was roughly the size of a volleyball court. Singing, to a greater degree than talking, aerial sizes, how would I pronounce that word, Maz?
Aerosolizes.
Aerosolizes. Respiratory droplets extraordinarily well. Deep breathing while singing facilitated those respiratory droplets getting deep into the lungs. 2.5 hours of exposure ensured that people were exposed to enough virus over a long enough period of time for infection to take place. Over a period of 4 days, 45 of the 60 choir members developed symptoms.
Right.
45 of the 60.
Right, and developed symptoms, which means, well, go ahead.
Right, not just they said they had the virus and blah, blah, blah.
Correct.
So it's like, these studios are just, it's a freaking virus trap in here.
Well, it is. It's a little scary when you read it in those terms, right? Like all of a sudden, to keep it to sports, this is another reason why, as the caller pointed out, baseball is played outside. There's a lot of social distancing in baseball built in. I mean, really, most of the players don't come in contact with one another during the course of the game. You know, the left fielder and the right fielder will never see each other unless they sit next to each other in the dugout.
Oh, no, but did you read this line? If you are in a job that requires face-to-face talking or even worse, yelling, you need to assess the risk.
Yep.
He sucks, Mike. He blows, Mass. He sucks, Mike. He blows, Mass. It's just we're like spitting on each other all day long, shouting at each other, like just flinging virus across the room at each other all day long in this little poorly ventilated room.
Right, exactly. We might as well be... Like in each other's faces the whole time.
We're reaching down to the bottom of my throat, grabbing a thing of saliva and rubbing it on you. And might as well. Oh, my God. If you're at a job that requires face-to-face talking or even worse, yelling, you need to assess the risk.
So you're supposed to do the show with masks on then?
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
So, you know what we could do? Is we could do the damn nine and show and whisper to each other.
Anyway.
The quiet one.
So there's that. I do want to play you more Dana White sound later because he cracks me up. I do want to get to the Jordan documentary as well. And I put documentary in air quotes because that's hardly a documentary. But either way, the Jordan Show on ESPN, our thoughts on that coming up after Murray's update. And it's a reminder that it's East Boston Savings Bank bringing you a Reentry Monday.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray with the latest.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's get to the Jordan thing last night. Haven't hit on it yet. Maz, what were your takeaway thoughts from last night?
Okay, so there were two that stuck out, both of which I thought were pretty obvious. One was Jordan's breaking down at the end of, I guess it would be episode 7. I get the numbers mixed up, but at the end of 7,
if you don't like the way I play, then don't play with me.
Exactly.
What the hell was that?
So Jordan is sitting there and he says, you know, this was my mentality. You go out there, you win at all costs. And if you don't want to play that way, don't. And he starts to tear up, cry, and he says, break, and turns away and gets up as if to say, I'm done shooting right now. And I look at it, I say, oh, you epic fraud. Please. So what is it? Now you're in your mid-50s. You look back and you realize a lot of your teammates thought you were an a-hole. And so now you say, well, geez, you know, I didn't mean to be that mean guy. No. Wait. No. You were what you were then. Don't all of a sudden change now. Like, you don't get both. It doesn't work that way. So, again, it was important to you to win, which is fine. That's a choice. I get it. And so he's wired a certain way, and he chose to conduct himself a certain way, and he had alienated some people in the process. Now he feels guilty about it, or he feels badly about it? I mean, that's how I took it.
I would say,
go pound sand. Too bad. I mean, again, you've got the rings, which is what you wanted. You don't now get their loyalty and friendship, too. You don't get that. Sorry, you made a choice. That was the trade-off. The other thing, obviously, was just how quickly they whitewashed the entire thing with the gambling and his father's death. I mean, it was over in the blink of an eye. And I just, you know, to me, if you thought there was any chance that they would get into it, they confirmed for you last night that this is a Michael Jordan production and they weren't going anywhere near it.
Well, not that they just didn't, you know, gloss over it, Maz. It's this sanctimonious air of how dare you try to think that his playing baseball had anything to do with a gambling suspension and the finger wagging that came with that.
Right.
I got to tell you, I have enjoyed this thing up until last night. That, along with the ridiculous narrative of him hitting 200 in AA is now some kind of otherworldly accomplishment. Like, I'll finish this off because there's two episodes left and I've already committed this much time to watching this thing, but I was fully annoyed and bored by those two episodes last night. Now it feels like complete overkill. This thing's too long. It's one big puff piece. And those two episodes last night just completely cemented that. This is just one big puff piece.
You're being sold something. Last night you were being sold something. The, you know, two of the prominent guys that they bring in for analysis are Ahmad Rashad and the Bobo that wrote the book with him. I don't know who he is, forgot his name, but whatever.
He's the rare air guy.
Yeah, rare air sports. Yeah. Like those two. So those guys are supposed to tell me what happened? Ahmad Rashad and the dude that wrote his book? Oh, would you come on, please?
And oh, so, they don't qualify as objective, you mean?
Oh, my God. And the Bobo that wrote his book, this fool, this guy, wants us now to believe that Michael wanted to quit after the second championship. He said this.
Oh, yeah.
He told me. Hey, I'd be done now playing baseball now. But, you know, Magic never won three in a row, and Larry never won three in a row. And I got this dream team thing, so... Otherwise, I'd quit now and play baseball now. Oh, please. You really? Now that's what we have to believe? That he was going to quit after the second title to go play baseball? Oh, stop it.
And not just those two, Mike. David Stern. I'm supposed to take David Stern at his word, but come on.
I mean, so listen, they spent a fair amount of time showing you his farewell press conference the first time, again, in 93. And so they played the lead up to it, and he's sitting at the podium with David Stern, as you said, all this, except they left out the best line. They left out the most telling line, of course, and not that I would expect it. I'm not expecting it from this thing, right? So I stopped expecting that very early on, that we were going to get anything new or any sort of hard look at the only part of the thing that interests me, which is why he left the first time, why he left in 93. And that's the only part of the thing that really, I've always been interested in that story. I mean, it's just a big, big story that's sitting there, if someone can ever uncover it. And so I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, here we go. He has his press conference in 93, and there's a famous line that he had in the middle of this 45-minute press conference. They, of course, left it out last night. But at some point, I don't know what the sound quality is, but, you know, you'll hear it here. He's asked in the middle of that press conference about maybe someday returning. Michael, what do you think about that?
I'm pretty sure I missed the sport. To come back, it's a different thought. I can't answer that. I'm not making this a never issue. I'm saying right now I don't have the mental drive to come out and push myself to play for a certain focus. 5 years down the line, if that urge comes back, if the Bulls have me, if David Stern lets me back in the league, I may come back.
If David Stern lets me back in the league.
Kind of telling, isn't it?
Okay. Now, that's been a famous, you know, that a lot of us who are on this side of it, the conspiracy theorists who think that, you know, Jordan was serving a de facto suspension. That's a famous line that we've had in our back pocket for a long time. And so it's been out there. Everyone knows about it. And the conspiracy theorists like me use it. But you would think that if they're addressing that part of the story in the doc last night, they would just put in that 10-second clip to give you the whole. No, that one hit the cutting room floor. But he said that in the middle. He let that slip in the middle of the press conference. If David Stern lets me back.
Oh, the whole thing was embarrassing, really. And I'm glad Murray brought up the part about the baseball too, because somehow in there, Michael Jordan turned into Bo Jackson. Right. Like, yeah. Oh no, he 1500 at bat. I know Terry Francona was one of them, but I also think that Francona was being courteous to Jordan. I think that's what all that was. All those he was getting it. He would have made it to the big leagues. Oh, bull crap! If he did make it to the big leagues, he was gonna suck. And Tim Tebow is a better baseball player than Michael Jordan, okay? And they were roughly the same age when they got into the minor leagues. Tebow was better. Let's not delude ourselves into thinking that all of a sudden he was like, you know, he was this natural athlete that could have been an all-star in the major leagues. I found that whole thing last night, all of it, borderline sickening.
Okay, if David Stern lets me back, and that's one thing you won't hear in the Jordan documentary. I'll give you a few things you won't hear about his father in the Jordan documentary, and we come back in our long commercial-free segment.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was supposed to pick up Michael's father from the airport. He was supposed to come into town for a charity event that Michael was throwing. And I went to the airport to pick up his dad, and he never showed up. So, of course, I called his mom and said, hey, you know, Pops isn't here.
We knew he was down at the Hilton Head house playing golf. When we didn't hear from him, we both thought, well, okay, they're still playing golf.
She said, well, just come on back. Don't worry about him. He'll, you know, he probably got sidetracked a little bit. He'll show up.
I was off doing my thing, and, you know, my mom said she hadn't talked to him in some time. He drives and goes down to Wilmington to visit old friends, stay a couple of days, drive back. But my mother's always in dialogue with him. When she got worried, we all got worried.
So there's the portion of his father's murder. Really tough story. And I don't know how it ties to the gambling or anything. I haven't really spent all my time talking about this. The James Jordan murder, I don't know if it does have anything to do with what I thought was a suspension for Jordan and his gambling problem. Maybe it's related, maybe it's not. I don't know. I've always thought the league had more than enough reason to sit Michael Jordan down even before that tragedy with his father. I mean, all the money he was losing on the golf course, the people that he was associating with, like, that's enough for a commissioner to step in and say, you know, go away for a little bit. And so whether the James Jordan murder was related to it or not, I've sort of left to the side. I think there's a whole bunch of questions about that murder that may just be independent of the thing. In other words, maybe James Jordan was into something that, you know, there's a whole story there. Because when you read up on it, I mean, it is like, woof. And the thing that they're whitewashing there is this. And the detail that just stuns me the most still to this day is that the Jordan family, Michael, his mother, no one reported James Jordan missing for 21 days. 21 days.
It's amazing.
Despite Maz, his birthday being in the middle of it. His birthday, he was murdered on July 22nd, 23rd. His birthday was July 31st. And he wasn't reported missing by the family until August 12th. Okay, so his birthday was even in there. And you hear how they sort of like, they sort of talked around it there. They know they, you know, because that's the question. It's like, why did it take you 21 days? Then this was even after Maz. This was 7 days after his Lexus was found in the woods. And they still didn't report him missing for another 7 days after the car was found.
Right.
Now, I don't know if they knew the car was found or not, but, you know, the body had been had been found. The car had been found. I think the father had been cremated or was about to be cremated as John Doe. And then 21 days later, the Jordan said, oh, he's missing. It's like, that's always been like, what's up with that?
Yeah, something doesn't add up there.
But also, you know, just like, again, independent of Michael, why, for instance, would James Jordan choose to park and sleep by the roadside when he was just a few hundred yards away from a Quality Inn that had rooms for less than $30? So he parked just down the street from a hotel where he could have napped there, but fine. Again, more significant, why had his family waited until August 12th to officially report him missing a full 3 weeks after he had last been seen and 7 days after his Lexus had first been found by police in those far-off woods? I'm reading from a Chicago Tribune story from a couple of years ago. That's a really excellent read on some of the details of the story. It was written to coincide with one of the two convicted murderers claims he didn't commit the murder. He just helped dispose the body. And so he's been appealing, or had been appealing at the time, his conviction, saying that James Jordan was already murdered by the time he got to the body, and he just helped dump it in that river in South Carolina on the border, and that he had already been murdered by the other guy, and they don't know how, but they think it was outside the car because there was very little blood in the car. So they think he was actually murdered outside the car and then put in the car. And like, so there's like a million question marks with his investigation, never mind the fact that the two kids then, the two dummies, the murderers, and then, you know, the one that murdered him, the one that apparently just disposed the body, started calling around on James Jordan's cell phone, his car phone, and he called. The first call they made was to a local drug dealer the next morning. So there's like a million little tentacles to that story that I think is maybe its own side story, and maybe related to Michael Jordan gambling, maybe not. I don't know. It's not part of my theory on Michael Jordan. My theory on Michael Jordan is that he was a heavy, heavy gambler with bad associations, and the commissioner stepped in and said, go away, cool it, because it's getting too hot. And that had, you know, maybe that had something to do with James Jordan, maybe not. It's really not part of my thesis, if you will. But the way they whitewashed it last night, like 21 days, you know, the way they make it sound is, yeah, you know, we were expecting him at the airport for a charity event. He didn't show up. We asked his mom. He said, well, he's probably just taking his time. All right. You know, and Jordan Michael says in there, I was off doing my thing. Like, what does that mean? You're off doing your thing.
Right.
Right.
I mean, if you know, he plays up this whole special about how close he was with his father and how, you know, inseparable they were.
So, well, I'm glad you got to this point. Keep going.
21 days, including his birthday, you're off doing your thing. Like, and now then they just brush right by it, you know, just blow right by that thing. It's like, I'm being fed something here. That's all.
Totally. And look, remember, too, there was that personal assistant of Jordan's that was in there last night. And, you know, this is now when the Bulls won their fourth title, Jordan's first after coming back. And he says, well, you know, it was the first time Michael had won without his dad. And, you know, to that point, his father had been at his side for everything. I mean, everything, his father was at his side. So he went 21 days then without.
Right.
Filing a missing persons report. And
including his birthday.
Right. And
birthday.
So, Mike, if I remember, too, in that Tribune story, there was some allusion to the fact that James Jordan, again, Michael's father, would sometimes sort of just, you know, yes, go off on his own, well, away from the family every now and then.
So this is what Michael told Oprah in a subsequent interview. Oprah Winfrey pressed Jordan on whether his family members wish they had sounded alarm bells earlier, right? 21 days. You wish you had said something earlier. Jordan explained that his family knew James as someone who chooses to do things very independently and noted that his father would often venture off on his own for days at a time. Quote, that's how he was. He loved to get his time for himself, Michael Jordan said.
Okay, so again, like, on the one hand, that's in that story, okay? And so Jordan says his dad would wander off for days at a time. But then last night, he's telling me that his dad would talk to his mom multiple times a day. His older brother, Michael Jordan's older brother, said that he would talk to his father constantly and had constant communication with him all the time. And so it's just not consistent. It's not consistent. You know, was his father the kind that would disappear for days at a time or not? And they wouldn't worry about it, not have conversations with him or what, because they knew he was coming back? There's something there we're not being told.
Yeah, and James may have had his own, you know, bit of shadiness like his son, and they were separate. I mean, I don't know. There's just a ton of questions with the James Jordan story, and maybe they are entirely separate from Michael's story. But the thing with Michael and the gambling and going away, I'm sorry, I've always believed it. I believed it at the time. And there's one last little piece that almost never gets mentioned, and they tried to couch it last night that Michael quit baseball because they were going to ask him to play as a replacement player at the beginning of March, when you're still a month away from anything like that, really, you know, it wasn't at that. The way they portrayed it last night, Maz, was that they had a game the next day and they were expecting Michael Jordan to cross the picket line and play as a replacement player. No, it was like the first week of March, for crying out loud. It was the second week of camp or something. And what else was going on at the time, and this I remember distinctly at the time, and you can look this up, March 9th, 95, that was the year, right? Wall Street Journal came out with a big story, the big breaking story on Reggie Lewis and potential drug use here with the Celtics, and how, remember Gilbert Mudge and that whole thing? It was after, sure, his passing, and how the Celtics handle it and his potential drug use, and that whole, it was a big story that looked really bad for the league and the Celtics, particularly, especially with the bias, the Len Bias thing in their past, and it was a big bad story for the NBA. And Michael Jordan came back at just about the exact same time. He started practicing with the team within days of that Wall Street Journal story appearing on March 9th. He officially returned March 18th with the I'm back, you know, the I'm back note, you know, to officially end his retirement. But he'd been practicing with the team for days. And it was just sort of, I remember thinking at the time, so David Stern had Michael in his back pocket. As soon as he needed the diversion, as soon as, you know, some bad news came out that was going to hurt his league, he had something in his back pocket to serve as a diversion. And the next thing you know, nationally, no one's talking about Reggie Lewis and Gilbert Mudge, and the Celtics are talking about Michael Jordan's return. I remember that at the time. And that, you know, again, another little something you're not going to see in that Jordan documentary.
Can I give you another one real quick that I found, sure, a little bit annoying? And I don't care if I come off as cold here. He no doubt missed his dad. It's a terrible story, and it was tough for him. But he was going through some things after they were up 3-0 on the Sonics in the finals in 96. And then he closes it out on Father's Day. Wouldn't that be like the most difficult of the days? And Wouldn't that series have probably gone seven if he was really, really going through tough times? Like, no, they took the foot off the gas collectively as a team that they dropped those two games to make it 3-2. That's really what it was. Now, his breakdown and all that, again, yeah, I'm sure it was very difficult. I know, like having lost a parent, it's difficult, but he was going through some things. That's why they dropped two games in a row after being up 3-0 in that series. I'm sorry, that's a crock to me.
So it feels like we were being sold a bunch of stuff last night.
Totally.
Either way, I'm watching. I'm entertained like everybody else. You want to weigh in on that, you can. Anything we've hit on today, by all means, you can. There's open lines at 617-779-0985. We do want to reset some football things, including some more reporting on the Palace Q and why Tom Brady is currently in Tampa. Let's pick that up after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.